everyone, and welcome to Coffee with Innovate Finance, a podcast series where we speak to industry leaders on financial innovation and fintech. Our podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple Music, and Google Podcasts. I'm Hayley Bromelow, COO of Innovate Finance, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Amon Gayoumi, co-founder and CEO of Ophelos. Ophelos is a technology company on a mission to improve financial health for individuals, families, and businesses. So Amon, welcome. Delighted you can join me. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Good. Well, yes, again, thank you. We've got a few good questions for you this afternoon. So I'll delve in and yeah, really look forward to discussing with you. So are you able to share a bit more about your background and what your journey was to co-founder and CEO?
Yeah, sure. I guess a pretty traditional to non-traditional, I guess, background on my side to getting to CEO. So after university, I ended up in tech by accident, I would say. You know, I checked out kind of the traditional areas of consultant investment banking wasn't really for me. And, you know, I just was mesmerized by technology and how it can improve things for businesses and people alike. And so have always been fascinated by it, worked in a couple of really, really successful tech startups as well. And then was always on the lookout for the right idea. And for me, the right idea was something that not only improves business processes, but also improves people's lives. And so impact has always been kind of a very important aspect of, you know, what I want to do in the future. And Ophelos really is that business, which, you know, on the one hand, really improves operational and commercial processes for businesses, but on the other hand, has a very distinct positive impact on people's livelihoods. So that's what, from a personal perspective, really is motivating for me.
That's amazing. Good to have that story behind it all. And as you say, like passion and impact, which is so important. So when kind of, I guess you had this idea behind it initially, and you were starting out the company, what was the original idea behind Ophelos?
Yeah, it's, you know, you and I say that all the time, but you would have asked me roughly 3 years ago that I'll be living and breathing in an industry like debt collection industry. I would have probably called you insane, but here we are. And it again, you know, I guess continually kind of for my life, it was by accident. So in my previous job, I worked for an AI company, and we were tasked with, you know, call center automation work for large retail banks. And one of the projects was in their debt collection department. So I saw firsthand how, from a technology perspective, underinvested and underserved the debt collection teams were on the one hand. And on the other hand, the people that find themselves in that collection process in the vast majority of cases are very vulnerable. So here are families and individuals and households who are going through severe trauma, be it because of job loss, partner loss, disability, health problems, and so on. And I always felt that people that find themselves in those situations need more help, not less. And we have completely failed them from a technology perspective. You know, when we look at innovation over the past decade or so, or even past two decades, most of it from a fintech perspective has gone to the front end. So how can we make payments easier? How can we make lending faster? How can we make all the KYC and underwriting and AML processes better? But almost no thinking has really gone into that back end. So what happens if there is an unpredictable situation, like my car breaks down or my fridge breaks and I have very little savings left in my bank account? And now, as a result of me having to replace my fridge or me having to repair my car, I actually can't pay back my energy bill, or I can't repay my credit card statement for the next few months. And the default is that we fall back to what we've known for the past decade or so, which is debt collection departments and debt collection agencies using very antiquated processes like email, like letters or phone calls, rather than using kind of digital formats like emails and SMS and WhatsApp and you name it. And so for us, it has been very much, there is a very distinct need in the market for digitization and more ultimately automation of processes, but in a very ethical and customer oriented way. And that's kind of why we started Ophelos in the first place.
Amazing. And now more relevant than ever, obviously, as we face the cost of living crisis. And I know we'll talk a little bit more about that shortly. But so if you were, I guess, going to break it down to the bare bones, what is Ophelos's vision and mission? What, you know, what are the key problems, if you could say, you know, top three, five that you are trying to solve?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are there's an overarching problem from our perspective. And that overarching problem is that there seems to be almost a relationship breakdown when it comes to customers who find themselves in financial difficulties between the original creditor and that customer. And so overarchingly, what we're trying to achieve is to bridge that gap. So how can we ultimately help, A, on the one hand, customers get a better control and get a better grip of their financial health? And B, how can we support enterprises where ultimately, for example, a debt is owed to and a debt lies, manage customers and provide better support to customers who find themselves in debt? So that's kind of the overarching idea. And so when you look at our mission and what we're trying to achieve, first and foremost, over the next few years, we are trying to be to build a better standard for enterprise and consumers to resolve debts ethically and also technologically. So we believe that those two things go hand in hand. But then, you know, looking forward into the future, we believe that actually the process of resolving debts can be a really, really important starting point and journey for customers to build better and more resilient financial health in the long term. So, you know, from our perspective, if we can help a customer resolve one debt, then the next step would be, what if we can resolve a customer to help resolve all of their debts? Mm-hmm. And then the step after that would be, how can we help a customer to hopefully avoid going into debt in the first place? And on a business side, you know, when you look at the processes today, as I mentioned before, they are really, really manual. So you have, in essence, a call center or an outsourced debt collection agency, which again, in essence, is a call center, who are making phone calls on a daily basis, asking customers to repay their debts. But it's a very transactional and sometimes quite predatory and hostile relationship between those departments and the customers. So how can you actually make this a value additive relationship and an automated relationship through technology in the first place? So there are a number of areas that we are, you know, trying to address in the long term, and we believe that it's a huge area for opportunity to drive, you know, better outcomes for all sides.
Yes, definitely. And I love that, you know, that, as you say, that mission of supporting consumers, you know, in the long term. It's not just about now. It's about, how do you arm them with that knowledge, the skills and everything they need for the long term piece as well. So fantastic. I mean, obviously, when you started out, inevitably, there were challenges. Can you talk a little bit about what those challenges were when you first started and if they differ from kind of the challenges you're facing now?
I mean, yeah, every day is different almost. So, you know, the challenges that we see this week might be very different challenges to the ones that we see next week or the ones that we saw last week. So I think to start with, you know, and it sounds cliche, but I think for me, the biggest challenge, the first one was, is this something that I want to be doing, you know, 24/7 for the next, you know, at least 5 to 10 years, right? Because I really do see this as a long-term project. This is not something that you do for a year or two and then you move on. This is, you know, a real commitment. This is somewhat of a baby, right? And so I think taking that leap and taking that leap of faith almost in a space that can be quite sensitive, frankly, right? Like, we're not talking about industries where it's always kind of positive and you know, you're only dealing with very easy situations. You are dealing sometimes with incredibly difficult situations, and you know, we can't shy away from those because that is life. And especially in this current environment that you see, you know, we believe that it's also our responsibility to do better and to try to provide better tools and support to customers who are in need. But you know, you have to be aware of this when you kind of venture out and start a company in this space. And I don't think it's for everyone. So that was, I think, the first challenge was more of a personal kind of challenge to overcome. And then once you kind of, you know, get to that point, you know, you realize that it's a highly regulated space, right? So you need to get FCA regulated, you have to go through the entire process. And that wasn't easy because the first time, you know, me and my co-founders have went through this type of process. So that was challenging. You need to convince people to join your company and join this journey. And again, because this is a very sensitive environment, a lot of people will run. They will not kind of, you know, say, yes, I'm super excited about that collection, right? But the ones that you find, they join you because they really believe in the mission and the values of the company and the purpose of existence for us. And so it becomes really important to really find the right people who will really identify with the problem and really want to ultimately shift an industry. So those were kind of over the first, I would say, 6 to 12 months, our biggest challenges, you know, get regulated, find a team, build a product. And now the challenges are slightly different. We are now around 25 to 30 people. You know, we've raised, you know, around £7 million in funding. We have a number of blue chip companies as our clients. And so it becomes much more process oriented now. How do you build the right processes to allow you to scale? How do you decide which product features to prioritize over others? Because there are so many things we want to build. How do you ensure that as you scale as an organization, as you start supporting more and more customers, that your customer service levels stay, you know, excellent? So, you know, the challenges, you know, change, and I'm sure that in, you know, a month's time or 3 months' time, there will be different challenges. But for us right now, it's very much about how do you scale in the right way.
Yeah. And no matter what, obviously, you find your way to keep motivated. So you face these challenges, but you keep going. And obviously, that comes down to how passionate you are about the cause. So, which is fantastic. So how would you say then that Ophelos differentiates itself from other firms out there in a similar space?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at kind of the industry as a whole today, it's largely, you know, either intern-led collection departments at, let's say, retail banks or energy companies, or it's debt collection agencies, you know, which are kind of working as an outsourced partner to those organizations. And these are very, very antiquated businesses. The processes are incredibly manual, not very digitized, certainly not automated. And as a result, customers suffer because, you know, they have to pick up the phone and make a phone call and resolve their issue on the phone. And oftentimes these organizations don't have the systems in place to be really flexible, and therefore it takes time. And when you are a customer who is in debt, you know, you also oftentimes feel very anxious. And so going through that process and actually forcing someone on the phone is quite a daunting experience for someone. So our main approach is to give our customers back a level of autonomy and agency. And so that means we're building digital products that allow customers to ultimately self-serve. So if you want to set up your own plan, if you want to change your plan, if you have a question, you can do that all at your own kind of time. Be it at, you know, on a Sunday at midnight, for example, you can do that. And at the same time, we're building a lot of kind of back-end automation processes for machine learning, so we can drive a much more efficient and effective process with customers compared to traditional methods. And that's just very much the first step. We believe that from there, you know, having a digital experience allows you to not only manage your debts, it gives you access to educational content regarding financial literacy, for example. It allows you to make changes in the future, potentially to the providers you're working with. It allows you to access benefits potentially. So you might be eligible for government benefits that you're not getting today. So you can actually increase your income. So there are a number of ways where we're trying to really support customers on the one hand and improve operational efficiency and effectiveness on the other side.
Yeah, so a bit of everything, really, not just, the one streamlined focus. Yeah. So we touched upon it a bit earlier, so cost of living crisis. From your perspective, how are you seeing this impacting consumers on the debt side?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we're going through a downward cycle at the moment. And so we're seeing a number of things. We're seeing more customers experiencing debt issues. I think that's natural. Particularly because of inflation, but in particular because of energy prices rising quite significantly. Now we have the government scheme that is in effect in April, which is, you know, cushioning that a little bit, but still we're seeing quite a significant impact on consumers. And I don't foresee that go away, unfortunately, in the foreseeable future. Where I believe this is an opportunity, though, is that actually on the business side, most organizations might have not really looked at their debt practices over the past 10 years because there was no real reason to really reevaluate and really deeply examine what, you know, large energy companies, retail banks, financial services organizations, telcos, water utilities, and so on are really doing. And this cost of living crisis is very much a catalyst for many of these organizations to completely re-examine and re-evaluate what it means for this organization to manage and collaborate with customers who are in debt. Because the reality is that 1 in 6 customers in the UK is facing problem debt. This is not a niche problem anymore that only, you know, felt by a small proportion of your customer base. This is potentially felt by, you know, 20, 30, 40% of your customers. And so you need to really ensure as a business, as a large enterprise, that you're putting the right measures in place, that you're putting the right partners, the right technology, the right processes in place to truly support customers who are finding themselves in financial difficulty, because otherwise, customers will not forget coming out of this crisis, you know, how they have been treated by enterprises during kind of these very, very difficult months. And this can have a very, very lasting impact on brand loyalty, brand reputation, and ultimately brand commercial success and metrics.
Yeah. And those numbers are scary, right? 1 in 6. I mean, as you say, it's not just a niche problem, actually. It's affecting a large number of people now. So, I mean, how does your performance specifically compare to traditional debt collectors?
In the tech industry, ultimately, the proof is in the pudding, right? So I can basically tell you the best story in the world. But ultimately, what it really matters is how you perform. And so performance is kind of, for us, means a number of things. What's the customer experience? What's the customer satisfaction on the consumer side? And ultimately, you know, there is a performance aspect in terms of from a business side, how much debt can you recover, right? And on both levels, we are significantly outperforming traditional methods of debt recovery and debt resolution, be it by debt collection agencies or traditional debt collection departments within enterprises. So to give you an idea, you can find our scores on Trustpilot. We have a 4.7, I think, at the moment. And 90% of customers rate us with a 4 stars or above.
Amazing.
Our customer satisfaction scores are the highest in the market. And again, you have to keep in mind, we're talking about debt resolution debt collection here. It's not a traditionally, you know, industry that's known for really high customer satisfaction scores. And on the other hand, it comes down to, you know, recovery performance. And I don't think there's anything too sensitive about this topic, right? Because ultimately, most customers who actually find themselves in debt want to repay their debts. This is not an industry where people are trying to avoid paying debts. They're very much on the same page as the original creditors. This is really about the finding the right solutions, finding the right payment plans, finding the right levels of affordability. So you can put a arrangement in place which works for both sides of table. And that's kind of where we are really, really focused on with our tech platform, is really kind of finding the right payment plans and payment journeys. And so when it comes down to performance, this is data from one of our clients, which is one of the largest energy companies in the UK. We are outperforming other debt collection agencies that this company has worked with by around 80 to 200%. So wow. Very significant performance improvements across the board. And so, you know, that shows how much opportunity there is by using technology and by using machine learning in the right way to drive better outcomes for both sides.
Great. Congratulations on those scores. They're excellent. As you say, Trustpilot of 4+, I mean, in this space. Yeah, fantastic. So as we come to a close then, finally, what is next for Ophelos? Have you got any exciting news you'd like to share with our listeners?
I mean, for us, generally, it's about, you know, growing and building better products that support customers and enterprises throughout this kind of cost of living crisis and beyond. And so, you know, we are just maniacally focused on doing the right things. And so that means providing the best service, building the best products, and growing the team. So in particular, I'm really focused right now on growing our organization. You know, we were 20 people around a couple of months ago. We are hitting 30. We're going to hit 50 probably next year. So a lot of growth, which also means building better processes and better scale into our organization and systems.
Exciting. Wow, 50. That's a big number from 20. So well done. Oh, well, it's been fantastic to speak to you. I think that's all for this episode. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And thanks again, Amon Gayoumi, co-founder and CEO of Ophelos. Thank you very much for joining me today. Please keep an eye out for upcoming episodes, and all of our previous episodes are available on our website. So please take a look at our catalogue for many more insights on fintech and financial innovation. Join us next time for Coffee with Innovate Finance. Bye for now.